It's good to see you in the house of the Lord. Somebody say amen right there. It's great to be here today. We're here for one reason. You know, we always say in the mornings we get up and we say, well, I'm going to get up and get ready to go to where? Church. But how about if we just were to think, this morning I'm going to get up and I'm going to get ready to go, Brother Brian, to worship. Boy, wouldn't that change our perspective? Yes, we have a place that we can come and gather together, and we call it a church, and we're thankful for it. But we're here for a reason, and that is to worship. So maybe if we were to just get up and say, you know what, I'm going to get up this morning, Chuck, and I'm going to go to worship. I'm going to go and I'm going to praise Him, Brother Harold, because He's worthy of my praise. I'm going to thank Him because He's been so good to me this week to allow me this opportunity to be in the house of worship. I want to read you a couple of scriptures, and then we're going to sing a song that I think is very fitting for this morning. In the book of Romans, chapter number 7, Paul said it like this. He said, "For the good that I would do, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members that warring against the law of my mind and bringeth me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And then verse 25 says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And there's a period there. What keeps you bound? Is there anything that is holding you captive this morning from being able to come into this place and just worship the Lord? What holds you captive? Well, there's a song that says, "My chains are gone, I've been set free. Amazing grace." Aren't you thankful for His amazing grace this morning? We're going to throw those words up on the screen, and I'm going to try my best to sing the verses, and I want you to sing with me the chorus. But I want to ask you this morning, I'm probably right in the screen. Sorry about our Facebook folks, I just right in your face. But I want to ask you this morning, is there anything that you can think of? Ask the Lord to bring to your mind what might be holding you captive. Brother Harold, he was giving us a little sign up there this morning. I said, "What has you bound?" And he said, "It's the flesh. It's our flesh. It's the sin." Sometimes it's just our thoughts, Tim, that hold us captive. I wonder if there'd be anybody this morning that you'd say, "You know what? I need to be set free. I need to ask the Lord to remove some things, Chuck, that would bind me and keep me from being all." We all want to be all that God would have us to be, don't we? But what keeps us from that? What are the chains that are holding you? You may be here this morning and you've never accepted the Lord as your Savior. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's just fear that keeps us from being set free from totally from our sins and being born again. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved, you're in a great place today, for you're in the house of God and the Holy Spirit is moving. It'd be a great day for you to come to know the Lord as your Savior. I want to try my best to sing the verses of that song. Guys, if you could throw it up on the screen for us this morning. When we get to the chorus, I want you to sing with me this morning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And great the thought my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieve. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing His word, my hope secures, and He will be my shield as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love. Sing it one more time, church. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. Mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. Father, we love You and we thank You and we praise You, Lord, for the opportunity we have to be able to be in Your house this morning. And Lord, I pray that if there be someone here that is just being held captive, Lord, whatever it is, Lord, maybe it's our thoughts. Lord, maybe it's a relationship. Lord, maybe it's just our fears that would bind us today. Lord, I pray that when we leave this place, we'll be able to know that we have been set free from those things that would bind us here today. Lord, if there's someone in Your house that's never accepted You, may this be the day, this be the hour that they'd realize that and come to know You, Lord, as Lord and Savior of their life. Lord, I pray that You would help us that we might even now, Lord, have the freedom just to come and to cast all of our cares upon You, Lord, because You care for us. Lord, be in this place today. We'll praise You and we'll thank You for all that is accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen. Choir, could we sing At the Name of Jesus this morning? At the Name of Jesus kind of goes right along with what we're thinking on this morning.
Yeah.
sorrows and fears pass away. Heartache soon vanish and burdens can't stay. For the heart that's been broken and wounded by sin, there is healing when you call. Shall return some glad day. A blessed appearing for those who've obeyed. Every tongue shall confess him to be the Lord of lords. They shall bow to the power.
Not at the name of Muhammad, not at the name of Buddha, not at the name of Confucius, not at the name of Satan, but at the name of Jesus. Jesus, my Lord, at his name, every knee should bow, every tongue should confess the things of the earth, the things under the earth, to the glory of God one day. And what a blessing that is, that one day, every tongue will confess. It's better to confess them here, that a way that you can know them there. But if you wait to confess them after, then you'll never know them there. And someone said one time that for a Christian, this world is the only hell that we'll ever know. But for the lost person, this world is the only heaven. This world is the only heaven that a lost person will ever know. There's tremendous truth to that this morning about our standing with Christ and the standing of the world. And so we're just thankful and grateful to be here this morning. Glad to see each and every one of you. Thankful for those watching on Facebook. And we are approaching swiftly to Jubilee. Anybody excited over Jubilee? Say amen. Amen, amen. I hope you noticed a couple upgrades when you walked in the building this morning, in the hallway and in the foyer. If you didn't, I'll just tell you, we have flat screen TVs up, and the old square TVs are down. They ran their course, but we appreciate the upgrade on that, and had a generous donor do that. What a blessing God has been providing for this Jubilee, and And we just praise the Lord for that. And the Lord willing, next week we're going to have some shrubbery. And we're going to have some flowers. We're going to have some color. Color's good, isn't it? And so all of that will be out in the churchyard as we get ready for Jubilee. And it looks like we're, again, we are 2 weeks out, Jubilee. Let me just read off, if I could for a moment, the lineup. Of course, starting on Monday night down through Thursday will be our junior Jubilee. And nursery provided each night. But on Sunday, March the 5th at 10:30 a.m., Brother Snyder Turner will be preaching. That is, if he feels up to it at that time. I know he I had a visit with him on Wednesday, him and Miss Marcia over at of their house, and he is definitely going to try to, with all of his might, be here. And so we pray to that end. But if not, I've asked Brother Brian to step in. And really that worked out for the best because, as Brother Snyder would say, that, well, Brother Brian is one that he could call on at, you know, the last minute. Hopefully it won't be Saturday night around 12 o'clock midnight. But if I've asked any other preacher, which there was no other preacher on my heart but Brother Brian, then normally they like a week or two notice. And so we praise the Lord for that working out. So remember that. And then, of course, in the evening service at 5, we'll have Brother Sammy preaching and Calvary Jubilee Choir singing and One by Faith Quartet singing. Then on Monday night at 6:45, we'll have, of course, Floyd Rowe will be here. Our choir will be singing, Michael Soup preaching. Tuesday, Brother David Smith, and then we'll have Welcome Hill Baptist Church Choir here on Wednesday. And so that'll be a blessing to have them here. Of course, our choir, and then Wednesday we're going to have Gateway Baptist Church Choir here. That's the choir of Brother Josh Agin, and looking forward to having them over on Wednesday night. And then Thursday, for those who don't know, Brother Craig Edwards had a cancel. He's having surgery. But I was able to get Brother Kenny Cockendall to preach for us. And then we have the server singing. And so it looks like it's going to be a great week. Everything is just about buttoned up. And, of course, food every night, a dinner for our Calvary family. So remember that at 5 o'clock each night. Let me mention a couple of things in addition to that. CLU today at 3, this down in the Fellowship Hall area. This will be a time of writing out cards to the preachers and the preachers that are coming. And so don't forget to bring a box of cards for that. See Christy or Amanda with questions. And also, it was decided this morning that while the women are meeting, course, men, if you have arrangements somewhere you have to be today at 3, that's fine. But if not, the men would like to meet to pray for Jubilee, just a time of prayer for the men concerning Jubilee. And so we'll be meeting in the sanctuary for that at that particular time. Again, it was brought up this morning, and so if you have arrangements somewhere you have to be, that's totally fine. Please, we'll have a time of prayer together as a church before Jubilee. So remember that. And Miss Claudia Darby, she is home from the hospital. She was there for a week, and she's under palliative care at home. Her breathing is not well, so please remember her. I know she's watching. She tells me she watches all every time that she's not here. So we love you, Miss Claudia, and we're praying for you. And I mentioned Brother Snyder a moment ago. Just continue to remember him. He had 40 staples removed on this past Tuesday. He said it made him nauseous. I said it'd make anybody nauseous, have 40 staples removed. And so, but anyway, remember him on his recovery, Miss Marcia. And then our youth will be leaving Wednesday for the ski trip. And so tonight I want to have a time of prayer for our young people. Miss Marianne Sanvey on the 22nd of March is having knee replacement surgery on her other knee. And then Brother Bobby's going to have a heart cath done on the 27th. And so let's remember all of these requests. We've got a lot going on, people coming and going, in and out of the hospital, activities on the calendar, very busy time. And not to mention the weatherman this morning said, I guess the groundhog was right. Said that it's going to be an early spring. And it's not over with yet, but I'll tell you what, next week may reach 80. And so I'm ready for spring. I'm done with the cold. Now, I like being cool, but I'm done with the cold. And so let's pray this morning and ask the Lord to have his will and his way in the service this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you, Lord, for who you are and for what you do. God, I pray for all of these we mentioned this morning that you would be with every person, every life, every circumstance. God, meet with us this morning in a special way in the music, the message, everything from start to finish, the CLU meeting, the men's meeting, the evening service, choir practice, everything, God. The plans we're talking about that we want to have done before Jubilee, God. Thank you for blessing us with donations. And Father, what a blessing it is to know that we are have been asking the things you want us to ask because you're blessing us with the things that we're able to do. Thank you, Lord, so much for all things. Meet with us in a mighty way this morning, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. If you will, turn with me to page number 286. Page 286, everyone stand and sing with me, The Glory Land Way. All right, everyone sing now. I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I'm in the glory land way. Telling CLU today at 3 o'clock, choir at 4. Guys, if you can be here at 3 for a time of prayer, it'll be a great time together as we begin to pray for Jubilee. And ladies, please don't forget to bring your cards. Also, there's a couple of sign-up sheets in the front, and I'll make sure I make this announcement correctly. So please go ahead and get signed up because I believe the food is being taken care of each night, but we need desserts and drinks. Is that correct? All right. So everybody like desserts? And you're going to need a belly washer, right, to wash that good food down. So it'll be a great time. But we need to go ahead and find out also how many are planning to come and be here for sure for the night. So please go ahead and sign up. Ever how many you're going to be having for your family so they'll know how much food to be prepared for each evening. Again, that's Monday through Thursday as well. So it'll be a great time, give you a chance to go ahead and come in. Relax, catch your breath, have a good meal, and be here in time for the service each night. We'll start each night at 6:45, so we'll have a little bit of extra music in the front side of that and get us just prepared for the service. So, but just make each night and each minister and group and everyone that will be involved, make that a matter of prayer. There is a lot of work that goes on in Jubilee behind the scenes that you never know anything about. So we just need prayer. We need to ask God just to be with us and to give us what we need. Please remember all the prayer requests this morning. that have been mentioned and some that I'm sure we probably have failed to mention. But I'm glad to know that the Lord knows all about them. So let's pray the Lord give us a great day today in his house. Now let's pray for the offering, both the gift and the giver. Brother Don, would you lead us in a word of prayer?
Was a wretch, I remember who I was. I was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time. sin separated. The breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your side. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owe. Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, you have washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glorious light. You took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, you have washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Darkness into glorious light. There is nothing stronger than the wonder working power of the blood. The blood that calls us sons and daughters. We are ransomed by our Father through the wash me white. Thank you, Jesus. You have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glorious light. Glory to
to be here this morning, and thank you, ladies, for the beautiful song about what the Lord has done. What a blessing. What a blessing. Thank you, Brother Allen, for leading us in the choir and the direction we're going in. And the Lord is doing some things here at the church, and we're wanting to be part of them. And so we are moving forward. Forward march, we could say. Forward march. All right. Let's take our Bibles this morning and go to John chapter number 5. John chapter number 5 will be our place of reading this morning. I want to bow for a word of prayer, and then we're going to read from verse number 1 down through verse number 9. And let me just say, before we pray, that last Sunday night we started looking at the healing of the impotent man, and that was part one. So during my study time this week for Sunday, I got in these verses, and the next thing I knew, I had about 8 pages of notes. And I said, there's no way that I can preach all of that on this Sunday night in one particular service. And so what we're going to do is we're going to have part two this morning, the healing of the impotent man. And then tonight we're going to have part three. And there's some things in this miracle, as all the other miracles in the Bible, that some things that we can glean that will help us in our day-to-day living as believers. And so we just want to try to be a help as we go through this miracle today. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then we'll begin reading in verse number 1 of John chapter number 5. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for giving your Son. You gave your best for the worst. And if you gave your best for the worst, what will you not give? And so, Lord, there's really nothing that we could possibly be anxious about, troubled about, that you cannot take care of, because you gave the best for the worst. So, therefore, I pray for the next few moments we would, as it's already been said, cast our cares upon you, because you care for us. And so, Father, we do that with all the faith that we have, with all the life experience that we have, with all of our ups and downs, Lord, everything all at once, right now, we cast upon you. Keep our minds free. Keep our minds clear for the next hour or less. Not just me, but everyone here, Lord, I pray that you'll do the same for all of us, because this is the most important part of the service, Father, is when your word goes forth. And then, of course, the invitation after that. We love you this morning. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. John chapter number 5, verse number 1. Notice, the Bible says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews. Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then, first after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Verse 7, the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. That's reading John chapter 5, verse 1 through 9. And again, this is the miracle of the healing of the impotent man, the sick man, the diseased man. Last Sunday night, we brought part one of this message, which we dealt with the particular timing of the healing. And verse 1 gives us that timing. Verse 1 says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. So we see the particular timing of the healing was during feast time. Most believe it was the feast of the Passover. This would be during springtime. There's also the feast of Pentecost, which would be 50 days later. And also the feast of Tabernacles in the fall. But most believe this is the feast of the Passover. Last Sunday night, we mentioned what the Passover was. And we went back to the book of Exodus, and we mentioned there that this was the final plague by the Lord. And he told the people of God, told Moses, the people of God, to strike your doorpost on the left, on the right, and the upper post with blood. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And so the Lord passed over those who had prepared their homes with blood. The Lord made inquisition for blood. He came looking for blood. And after the firstborn of every house, including Israelites who did not follow the instructions, there was at least one person dead, the scripture said. The firstborn of every house, there was at least one dead. But after that, the Lord said, this will be kept for ages and generations. So that's the Passover feast. And we mentioned last Sunday night that Jesus picked the best time to create a miracle or to heal this man, to perform a miracle. It was a time where many came to the Passover feast. There was the young, there was the old, there was the rich, there was the poor, the smart, the religious, and anybody else mixed in would come to this feast. Whether they're spiritual or not, they had food there. Isn't that right? We can put free hamburgers and hot dogs on the sign out here and we'll have a crowd. And that's no knock on anybody. I go to a church too if they offer me a hot dog. But nonetheless, it was a great big opportunity to perform a miracle, and Jesus did that upon this impotent man who lay there for 38 years. And the direction, the point that I brought on that last Sunday night was that we're living in a community where there is great opportunity to share the Lord Jesus with people. Jesus picked a great opportunity in his day. The harvest was truly plentiful in that time to do something great in the name of his Father and by his power. Now is the harvest still truly plentiful in our areas. There are people everywhere that are dying and going to hell. There are people everywhere that are wanting something greater than themselves in order to have purpose in this life and to feel fulfilled. And so we mentioned that last Sunday night, the particular timing of the healing. That was part one. This morning, I want to get into part two only, and that is the place of the healing. We mentioned the particular timing of the healing, and now the place. And y'all just stay with me. We are pedaling as fast as we can, And I feel like I'm about to start coasting downhill, which is a good thing. And so y'all hang in there with me. The place of the healing. Notice in verse number 2. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. Let's stop there. And so we see the place of this healing was at this pool called Bethesda. And this was the place of the impotent man's healing, right here at this pool called Bethesda. Now, there's 3 things about this place I want to mention. Number 1, briefly and quickly, I want to mention the sheep market. He says, now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool. So he mentioned sheep market. Now, the word market here is in italics, which means slanted. They brought in that word to best describe the situation. But really, it's better rendered sheep gate. Sheep gate. Sheep market, sheep gate. No doubt there was probably a market within the gate when you entered into Jerusalem. Nehemiah chapter number 3, don't turn there, but verse 1 mentions this sheep gate, where sheep were brought through. Sheep were sold at a market. Sheep were killed and eaten and even sacrificed. And so there's this sheep market here by the pool of Bethesda. Now, what about the pool of Bethesda itself? He says, now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda. The name Bethesda this morning, it gives reference to a pond or a place for bathing. But the actual definition of Bethesda means the house of mercy. The house of mercy. Now get this, it was here where the mercy of God was seen and experienced by the sick and the diseased. This pool, this place called Bethesda, this is where people experienced the mercy of God, whether they acknowledged it or not. Whenever those waters were troubled, an angel stirred them, and the Bible says at a certain season, and whosoever first stepped in, they were healed and made whole of whatsoever disease they had. Many people experienced the mercy of God there at the house of mercy or the pool of Bethesda. And I want to say this morning, and it really goes without much saying, that we live in a world where there's a lot of people living in misery. There's a lot of people who are lame because of sin. There's a lot of people who are on drugs, alcohol. There's a lot of people in our communities who are driven by money and wealth and fame and ego. There's a lot of people in our world that are missing the mark for ultimate fulfillment. We have a lot of people in misery that's around us. And so you know what we need in our day? You know what we need here at the church? We need, or at least the church is a type of Bethesda. We need some more Bethesdas in our day. We need some places where people can go and experience the mercy of God like they did here at this pool. We live in a very miserable world, and there needs to be equally places that's called Bethesda. Why, you can show mercy yourself, the Lord Jesus, through you to an individual while you're out and about in the community. This is a place that we like to call, or at least I was thinking of this past week, this is a Bethesda. This is a place where people can come and experience the mercy of God. Now, I want you to notice the porches. The Bible says that It had five porches. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And so this pool, Bethesda, the house of mercy, had porches attached to it. And I found out the other day that Brother Ceylon has been to the pool of Bethesda. I said, is it still nice and upkept? Of course, 2,000 years ago, it was probably nice and upkept. Now it's a pile of rubble, I'm sure. But it had five porches, and on these porches, the Bible says, verse 3, in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. So this place called Bethesda, this pool had porches with sick people on them. And these people were looking to be healed. I remember back in around Christmas time, I got a call from Brother Randy. And he said, Brother Justin, he says, we have a homeless man here at the church. And I just want you to know that I took him to get a hot meal, and he has nowhere else to go. And so I told him it'd be okay for the night if he wanted to sleep on the porch. Of course, I said, that's fine. That's fine. I can remember looking on my phone. I have access to the cameras. And occasionally when I can't sleep or throughout the day, I'll look in at on the camera, check on the church. And I can remember on one of those, it was during Christmas break, and on one of those nights, it was so blistering cold. I mean, that wind, you remember how it was. Everybody's faucets were dripping, and it was blistering cold. And I remember looking on this camera on the front porch, and I could barely see his work boots. And he had some type of cover or blanket covering his body down to his ankles, and all I seen was his work boots sticking out. And it was cold. It was blistering cold. And I got to thinking about this yesterday. And I wept. I mean, I baby cried. Because as I was studying this and getting into this message and trying to develop it and looking at these people that were on this porch, I got to thinking about that man. And I got to thinking about how he needed some help. Brother Randy did all that he could do, but I was thinking about him, and I got to thinking about how that could have been my family on a church porch sleeping in the blistering cold. And so I got to thinking about the song by Casting Crowns, under the shadow of our steeple. And truly, under the shadow of our steeple, on our front porches, we have people that come that are homeless, people that come that have needs in their life, and they may not know that they need Jesus, but that is certainly what they need. And so we see here that in verse number 2, there's porches, five porches. Verse number 3 describes the kind of people on the porches. Notice what he says in verse 3, in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. And so they were sick folk. They were diseased folk. He mentions one being blind, and then another being halt, which is lame or withered. And then the last one, or blind, halt. Halt means, can mean lame. And then there's the withered, which means shrunken or lack of moisture. That withered can be a person, I've seen them before on their deathbed, as their moisture is leaving their body. They're getting ready to meet the Lord, and they kind of just ball up in a fetal position before they die. That's the kind of people on these porches here at Bethesda. Some more blind, some more halt or lame, some more withered, lack of moisture. They all were there on these porches, and they were waiting for something to happen in their life. Of course, in our day, again, as I was saying a moment ago about this lame man that was on our front porch and about the people in our community, they have things that they turn to help pass the time. Some end up alcoholics on the street. Some end up druggers on the streets. And again, all kinds of different people, different scenarios, but they're trying all kinds of things to pass the time while dealing with their spiritual diseases. And so they need someone to take them by the hand to the pool, here and in the Bible. They could not help themselves. They could not get there. While we have some that were blind, they couldn't get to the pool. We had some that were halt or lame. They could not stand up and walk. Some were in a fetal position, and they were on these porches, and they were miserable, and they were living their lives hoping somehow someone can take them to the water. I say that because they could not get there themselves. So again, I say all around us, people are waiting for something or someone to change their life. They're trying not to give up hope. They need someone to take them to Jesus, to church, to Bethesda. Let me say that whenever the gospel is shared or preached, it stirs or should stir the hearts of men and women in their souls. It should stir them in and there's a power at that time to save them when the gospel is preached. The gospel is stirred, and there's a power at that moment to save them and help them. And so we see that there's possibilities when the water of God's word is stirred. Let me just say it again. Whenever the gospel is shared or preached, it stirs the hearts and souls of men and women. There's power at that time to save a soul, to heal even if it's God's will. There's possibilities when the water of God's word is stirred. This morning it's whosoever, let them come. Whatsoever you've done, God will forgive. That's the message this morning. That's the story we have in the Bible. They could not help themselves. They were laying there needing someone to take them to the water. Now, let me move on, and by the end of tonight, we're going to tie this all together. Notice, if you would, verse number 4. The Bible mentions an angel. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And so we see this angel. Another word for angel, the word angel here is messenger. Let me just say that angels this morning are employees of God. The devil has employees, and they are dark angels. They are demonic angels. And so God has angels, the devil has angels, and so we're talking about the angels of God here. And the Bible says he sent a messenger for an angel. A messenger went down at a certain season to this pool and troubled the waters, stirred the waters. For those who are skeptics of angels, let me just give you a couple verses. And you don't have to turn there. Matthew 4:11, we see the angels minister to Jesus after his temptations. Psalms 91, verse number 11, the Bible says, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Hebrews 13 and verse number 2 says that we're to be careful not to entertain angels unaware. Hebrews 1:14 talks about that there's angels to minister to the heirs of salvation. You remember in the Old Testament, Jacob, when he was running from his brother Esau, and he laid his pillow on a stone, and he had a dream, and it was a ladder from earth to heaven. And the Bible says there were angels ascending and descending, coming from earth to heaven. Listen, we have ministering angels this morning. That we have guardian angels, I believe. We have ministering angels, and angels are God's messengers. And so we see, the Bible says in verse number 4, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool. and troubled the waters. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And so we looked at just a couple of details about angels. And in this particular verse, we see the actual descent of the angel. Again, like Jacob's dream, but also like David. In David's case, when God says, when you hear the sound of a going on top of the mulberry trees, then you're to bestir yourself and go. Some people says it's talking about a wind. It could be an angel. Either way, God was allowing David to know when it was time to go. And so God sets the table. We see this here in so many words, that God sets the table, but we have to eat. The angel would come down and trouble the waters. And then it was up for the individual to come down into the waters to be healed. We preach the gospel. And when the gospel is preached, when the gospel is shared, it stirs the waters. It stirs the gospel in a person's heart. But it's up to that individual to accept the gospel. At least each and every service that we preach, there ought to be something stirred. So we pray each and every time we preach that God would stir hearts, that God would move in hearts, that He would use the gospel to do so. But then there's also the invitation time, and that's your time to respond. So we see that we must preach, and it's up to man to respond. An angel went down at a certain season, and the first person that stepped in was made whole. Man had a responsibility. Also, when this angel went down to stir the waters, God's messenger. We have a sanctuary. We have altars. We have a baptistry. But ministers must preach and teachers must teach and stir the waters. Now, a pastor in Revelation, when it comes to the seven churches of Asia Minor, is also called an angel. Christy would say a devil, talking about me. Anyway, I'm just trying to crack the egg this morning a little bit. Get a little yolk to come out. In Revelation, pastors are called angels. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, we know this wasn't a pastor that came down and troubled these waters. It was an angel. It was an angelic being. It was a messenger of God. But then it was up to man to respond. There's healing waters at Calvary. Each and every time the gospel is shared, Sunday school, in the main service, any service, there's healing waters here spiritually. The gospel is being preached. The gospel is being shared. The waters are being stirred. Now it's time for you to respond. Yes, I'm talking about those watching on Facebook as well. Time for you to respond. And so the question is, how do we stir the waters? How do you stir the waters? I, as the preacher, stirs the waters by sharing God's word. How can you? Well, you can by sharing God's word as well, but also just spending time with Jesus during the week. And when you come to Calvary, you're ready to stir by inviting others, by being loving and nice. You can stir the waters here at Calvary. By being faithful, you stir the waters here at Calvary. By being enthusiastic and having a vision here, excuse me, at Calvary, you stir the waters. But it's up to man to respond. Notice something else in verse number 4. It mentions whosoever then first, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. The Bible says in verse 4, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. The first one to respond had the benefit. The first one was healed. Not those that lingered, but those who came in afterwards, it was the ones that responded first who had the benefit. Someone had to move first, and they had to move fast in order to have the benefit. In any given church service, there's always the first person who steps out and walks the aisle and finds what they need at the foot of the cross. It's always that first person that God uses to open up the hearts of men and women, and then they start responding. The difference between Bethesda's pool and the churches that we attend is that we, it's not just for a limited time as it is in the scripture here. The Bible says at a certain season, but it's every time the doors are open, the waters are stirred, and there's the power of God, the potential to change lives there. But it's up to man to respond. And so it's always, at least in my estimation, the first one who responds is the one who gets blessed. It's that first one who comes. And that first one, of course, many can come. And not just at certain seasons, but all the time is what we see here. Revelation 3:20. The Bible says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." This morning, our goal was to finish part two. And part two was talking about the place of the healing. I don't know. Normally, I would share stuff like this on a Wednesday night, but I felt led of God to share it this morning, so I'm not going to doubt anything about it. I know I preached what I was supposed to preach. And we're going to finish up tonight. And so whatever you choose to do with it, it's up to you. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you. We praise you for who you are. Lord, I pray, God, that as your word went forth, no doubt the job of it's to stir the hearts of men. And my prayer is that if there's someone here that needs to respond, I don't know, maybe there's someone that needs to respond and accept Jesus. Or maybe there's someone here that's already saved, but yet they feel the need to respond to some matter in their life. Let them be the first to respond, that they may find what they need. God, we're not trying to over-spiritualize. We're not trying to lead anybody astray or take anything out of context, God. But I do feel like that this is what your church needed to know this morning. And so, Father, we'll do our best to finish up tonight. But do give liberty during this time of invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand this morning.